This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus. We are officially live. Happy Friday, everyone. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. And I just want to thank you guys for hanging out with the Defocus Media team today. We have a panel today that is just full of our all-stars. And I'm so excited to hang out with my Defocus Media family because everyone on here is a part of the podcast family. So this is a very special day for me and pretty special for you guys as well, I take it. Am I right or am I wrong? Mm-hmm.
Every day it's fun to be back together.
Yeah, I mean, we're missing a few of our famous faces like Dr. Jennifer Lyerly and Dr. Rachel Simpson, but I know both of the ladies are watching, so it's all good. But we want to thank everyone for coming out tonight for the student stimulus package. This is for you students. We want to make sure that, you know, you have all the knowledge, you have that full package in regards to being a fourth year and graduating. Before we get started, I just want everyone to really introduce themselves. And we're going to start with the famous Dr. Adam Ramsey.
I get to go first? All right. All right. All we need is intro music and maybe some claps. We got to work on that for the second. But Dr. Adam Ramsey, I own Social Life Vision. You can find me on all social media platforms. I really want to just support the students. We've been on a whole bunch of webinars and podcasts, and it's been doctors driven. And I wanted to quiet down the fears of students that are graduating soon, or say you just graduated, but then you get rolling and then all of a sudden you're stopped, you know? So, you know, those people have a lot of questions, and I was hoping that we can do one where we have them, students are in focus and we can actually answer their questions live, and I'll let them know that we're there for them. We're reaching out to them and we're happy. So we're happy to be here. So thanks for having me on. I'm excited. I'm excited to talk with my other co-hosts here. I know I'm going to learn something. So I got my pen and paper out, ready to roll.
All right. All right. So next we're going to jump into Dr. Kate Hamm. Dr. Hamm, if you don't mind just giving us a brief introduction of who you are.
So I'm Dr. Kate Hamm. I live and work in Wichita, Kansas. So I am an associate OD with a 3-practice location practice with 4 other doctors. I graduated last year in 2019, and I am the Kate of the lunch date with Rachel and Kate. So my counterpart, Rachel, and I both graduated in May. What we specialize in and what I'm really passionate about is closing the wage gap, women in leadership, and then negotiation. And all three are so intertwined with each other that it's hard to separate those out. So I've gotten to do a lot of work with that, with a lot of organizations, but it's just a special place in my heart, my Defocus Media peeps. I don't know, they're just the best.
Love hanging
out with them all.
And we also have an amazing guy with us today. And this is the guy that, you know, really is going to guide us through this entire conversation. We have Jazdy Sony, which is a 4th-year student, and I'm going to let him tell you the rest. If you don't mind just giving us a good overview of, number one, why did you get in optometry? Where do you go to optometry school as well?
Yeah, so everybody, hey, I'm Jazdeep Singh Sony. I'm OptoTurban as my Instagram podcast name. just want to say thanks for organizing this. I think it's great, especially, you know, there's been a lot of talks and webinars and podcasts, and it's nice to have something dedicated for the students. You know, it's a weird situation for us right now. I'm on rotations as a 4th-year out here internally in Arizona at Midwestern University. Quickly, why I got into optometry was I felt like it was a good opportunity to give back and help to the community, but also build the business side, the marketing passion that I have. And I think it was a great way to kind of merge those passions. But I think this is a great conversation because right now students, whether you're first year, second year, third year, fourth year, you're going through so many different tasks. For example, us 4th-years are on our last rotation here, we're getting ready either for the real world or residency. We want to build that confidence where, hey, you know what? In a couple months, we're supposed to be on our own seeing those patients. And, you know, obviously right now we're not getting those patient experiences. And, you know, for 30 years, they were cut short right before their board exams. Can you imagine studying for this board exams for the summary of all your 3 years and you're exam is just cut short 2 days before or day before. That's just, it's been really unfortunate. And even for the second and the first years who are supposed to be going to labs, learning about how to insert contact lenses, you know, getting advice about ocular disease, like these are unfortunate situations. And I think I'm happy to represent the students and kind of get advice from you docs, how we can kind of navigate these waters.
Yeah. And, you know, I was going to ask you to paint the picture of what you're going through. And I mean, you basically painted it. I mean, it's like almost Picasso is perfectly. I mean, like, that's a lot to deal with. You know, I mean, I graduated in 2011. And during that time when I was in school, that's when we were having that housing crash. You know, the market went down. But that was right when I was going in. So to graduate, yeah, the economy wasn't the best, but it wasn't where it's at right now. So I know it's very difficult to go through and conquer. But I'm so happy that we have amazing stars in our profession like Dr. Kate Hamm and Dr. Adam Ramsey that can really give us some answers and give us great insight that, you know, things will be okay. We actually have a full house tonight inside of our link. For those that cannot get in right now, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/defocusmedia, or go to my personal LinkedIn account, linkedin.com/Dr. Daryl Glover, and you'll be able to see this live and ask questions as well. But we are at a full house, we're at capacity, which is great. But let's go ahead and get started. What we like to do, I always like to give a little bit of an overview of how this live podcast is going to work out. Right now, what we're going to do is switch gears, and we're going to have Dr. Hamm really talk to you guys about some key tips when it comes to negotiation. She's going to break down the top five tips when it comes to negotiations, and then we're going to open up the floor to a Q&A. Now, you guys sent a lot of questions, so we have a lot of these questions to put up and then answer, but we're going to also want questions from you guys as well. So keep bringing the questions, keep feeding them to us, but we're going to leave it in the hands of Dr. Kate Hamm. Dr. Hamm?
So I, like I said, I'm super passionate about negotiation, and I currently teach courses for the AAUW on negotiation, and I've been certified through Yale on negotiation practices. So I've read a lot of books, so we've got a lot of information to kind of go through, but we're going to nail it down to five. So this does, I want to let you know that this does not even come close to exactly how to go through a negotiation. This is a great place to start. And then it's your job in your opportunity to kind of create into your own. So if you have questions, that's totally fine. But I just want to go through the top five. So one, do your research. This means you need to research what is the average salary for an optometrist in your area. That doesn't mean that you need to break it down by men or women. You are able to if you would like to, but do your research. Places to research is Labor Bureau and Statistics, Covalent Careers, and then some new, and then also other publicized articles. Rachel and I, my counterpart, are working on some research right now to be publicized. So if you do have questions, I've had so many people reach out to me and it's wonderful. Don't hesitate again. Two is know what value you are bringing to the practice. So sometimes we think of, well, I'm just a really good doctor. Like I'm going to bring you patients and the patients are going to stay. But sometimes we need a little bit more than that. That is so true. I believe each and every one of you watching and a part of this is our fantastic doctors, and patients are going to come and stay because of you, but having other value that you can bring to the practice, such as JD talking about his marketing experience, or if you have a specialty that you are passionate about, contact lenses, pediatrics, anything of that nature, or if you bring a special perspective, maybe you have your MBA or your master's of public health. Sometimes you go, I have none of these things. That is okay too. This is a great moment. Right now you have the time to see what value you have that you've learned from school that you can bring to a practice. So this could include organizational skills you have. This could use, you know, kind of major, maybe executing skills that you have, anything in creating value statements. Three is know that in a negotiation, we are both on the, you and the person you're negotiating with are on the same side. It is not a battle. You both want you to work there, and you both want everybody to be successful and have a fair opportunity. So with this, it is important to know that you're not battling anybody. Instead, you are creating an opportunity for you and your future boss or whoever you're working with to come in together to create an awesome opportunity for you. So don't come in rearing and ready to throw punches, but instead come with it with your positive attitude and ready to go on the same side. You are battling a number, not each other.
I love
that. The fourth one to know is know your walkaway value. This is important because sometimes we think that whatever, like when I came out of school, I said, you could pay me like $20 and I'd probably say yes, because I saw all this debt. I had no money. I was relying on everything from everybody else, it felt like. But know your walkaway value. You need to know your budget and your personal value that you are ready to bring to that practice. And know that if they're unable to offer it to you, it's not that that practice is bad. It's just not the opportunity for you at this time. Knowing that, again, like this is not a battle. This is just knowing what's best for you and looking inwards at what is best for you and your family, being able to say, at this point, I'm ready to walk away. And that is okay. I think sometimes it's so scary because you hear the words walk away, but it is okay to walk away and find a new opportunity, because it is not going to be worth your time and energy if you do not feel compensated fairly for that. Last one, number five, is benefits can make up the difference that salary kind of comes, that when salaries lack. So let's say you're expecting to make $20 million. These are all fake numbers, I hope you know.
I think Dr. Ramsey's getting $20 million a year. You know, he's getting that bag.
Okay. I'm coming over for Dr. Ramsey
starting.
Now.
That's what we starting. Let's go.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you're going to pay me $20 million, I'm coming. They're like, ooh, we can do like 19. And your walkaway values like $17 million. And you're like, ooh, but I really want to get that higher up. Use your benefits. Ask for some days off. Ask for some CE coverage. Ask for, I mean, there are, if you can imagine it, it can probably happen. There are certain things that, you know, can't, but if you can imagine any way where that practice can benefit you, and a lot of times they can do some of these things with tax write-offs. There could be other funds that are used to do this, and that doesn't have to be salary-based. So look at other benefits. Or some people look at production bonuses, salary, like starting bonuses, moving costs, things of that nature that can make up for that salary in that as well. So that's kind of my top five, because any negotiation is good for the wage gap. So the goal is not for you to feel scared or nervous, but to go in there, know that you are worth what you are asking for, and also know that that's the best way that we're going to close this wage gap and all become a more equal profession. So this is just the bare minimums, like I said. So you might be like, oh my gosh, I have so much work to do. And that is okay. We all feel that way all the time. I mean, I constantly feel that way. So know that this is a starting point, and you are not going to be perfect on your first, second, third, or fourth, or fifth negotiation. It's going to be a long time until you feel super comfortable, but it's somewhere to start.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to elaborate on two things, and then I also wanted to ask Dr. Adam Ramsey a question about this. Number one, value. I think value is very important. I think that, to me, that was one of the key things. Like, if you know your value, then everything else is going to come into play, because you're not going to shortchange yourself in any way, form, or shape, you know? So I think that's something that you really need to look at and hone in. If you're going to a practice and they're not doing specialty contacts, but you know specialty contacts well, figure out how much that's going to add to the bottom line. There's a lot of articles out there that can actually give you that number. And you talk to that business owner and say, hey, I'm going to generate $100,000 more to your bottom line. So I do feel like I am. Well, I don't feel. I know I am worth this amount of money. Don't go in there being all cocky and stuff like that. But at least, you know, have some of the statistics and data in front of you so that it can warrant the reason why they pay you that amount.
Exactly.
The one thing I know, I feel like I made a mistake when I came out of school, and I'm going to be upfront with you guys, is production bonus. My first job, I got paid like, and this is back in 2011, $90,000. And a lot of that was, it was like some prepaid production bonus. And you still made money on top of that. But my advice to you guys is get all your money up front that you can. Let that be the last thing possible that you get it. Get all your money up front. Because when it comes to bonus money, it's taxed a little differently, and you don't want that tax rate. Trust me. The thing I wanted to ask you, Dr. Ramsey, is that, you know, you own a private practice. You know, some of these things that Dr. Ham touched on, I mean, what is your feeling, your insight, or your thoughts in regards to if a student came to you or a new optometrist came to you and wanted to negotiate these things? How would you combat that? How would you treat that? And how would you look at that future optometrist that would work with you?
Well, thanks for asking me the question. I was supposed to be bringing on the associate this year before this started. So these were some of the things that I was open to. Hopefully 2021 will be able to bring somebody back on. But I would say if you're willing to bet on yourself, that's great. If somebody came to me and said, I want to bet on myself, that's great. But you cannot ask for all the money plus the benefits. You have to get one or the other. If you want a really high base salary and you want, like, say you want $140,000, right? But then if you want to get the perk of, hey, I do really well, so I get this amount, you have to take the risk and reward. You can't only get the benefit. So you could either, in my case, ask for a higher salary where the production bonus doesn't matter, or ask for a lower salary, and then you can get even more than the minimum or more than that average if you do well. It's great to want to negotiate, but that's when you know your value, you know what you're worth, and you're willing to bet on yourself. Not everybody wants to roll that dice on yourself, because as a student, you're going to have ideas and you're going to think you're the best thing since sliced bread, because that's what I thought when I came out. And then when you get into the real world and you realize insurances and you realize how much the actual take home the practice actually gets, then you realize, oh, it's going to be a lot harder than I thought to bring in that kind of revenue. Most new graduates or most new people to a practice, a lot of times does not make enough revenue to cover their salary, unless the practice is losing a doctor and they're trying to fill in a patient base that was already established. But if you're getting added to a practice, a lot of times you're actually not going to bring in or bring the value that you think you are, unless there's an established patient base that you can go after. So knowing what you're worth is good. Betting on yourself is cool. But just know, choose one or the other. Try not to go in there and ask the doctor to get, let's say the average salary is $100,000. Okay, the average salary is $100,000. But with production bonuses and everything, you can get up to $150,000. That's a good situation. Now, some people may say, hey, if you take $80,000, you have an unlimited thing that you can go up to. If you take a lower base, because then you're saying, I'll take the risk on too. I'm not just asking for all of the benefit. Because what happens on the day when, or the week or the month that it's completely slow, I'm still paying you all of the money. And then on the in season, when we have all of the stuff, you're like, hey, I need to get more. I did really well this month. And the doctors, the owner of the practice is looking back and say, yeah, but did you remember last month I paid you and you didn't make enough to pay yourself. So you can't ask for it both ways. You know, pick one or the other, and almost anybody will be fair and willing to negotiate with you if you're willing to take the risk on as well. And if you don't want any risk, then just ask for the best thing you can get and worry about the risk in year two and year three. Negotiate it then, because then you'll actually know what you can average or what you're actually going to bring in, and you'll be talking from real numbers instead of estimates.
I was going to say, I actually just interviewed for a job and I had an offer. And so I'm actually in this position right now where I'm in the negotiating period. And let's say the offer was 100, like you mentioned before. And I think the bonus is 15%, anything greater than 400K gross. You're saying I can't request, let's say, 110. And then also I want to increase it to
25%. 25% is not happening. That'll never happen.
The best thing to do also in this situation too is to see what's happening in your region. I know that sounds silly, but like you're where you are and where Dr. Ramsey, I mean, I totally agree with Dr. Ramsey. You're going to have to go in and you're going to have to be able to value, you're going to have to figure out what's important to you. And that's important. If you're willing to take on that risk, if you're like, no, base salary is important and I'm willing to take down that production bonus, like that's what you need to do. But let's say you're like, well, no, I'd much rather have 4 days off and not get paid as much, you know, or I'd much rather only take 2 days off and get paid more, which if you're only getting 2 days off a year, wow, maybe we should revisit things. But, you know, like,
ain't no days off over here. Me and Dr. Glover, every day is work. Yeah. It's day off day, this paid vacation. That is an anomaly to me. I don't know what a paid day off is. That is not, I don't, every time Dr. I don't feel work, like, I make money.
See, this is why I'm the associate. Just kidding. But you know, like when you're looking at those things, figure out what's important to you and figure out what's averages in your region. Because if you're going in and you're in a rural area and that makes sense of what you're asking for, then that makes sense. But if you go in and you're going to go into New York City and say, well, I want 120,000 with a 25% production bonus, like they're going to laugh you out of town. And so, do that research. That's why that number one was my first one, is like, you've got to do the work ahead of time so that when you come in, that they're able to see one, that you've done the work, and two, that you are willing to work through this well. Cause if you just come in and say, this is what I want, and I don't, you know, like just give it to me, it doesn't give you the opportunity to, first of all, show your value in a unique way. And second of all, give an opportunity for you both to be on that same side.
Yeah, great advice. So guys, what we're going to do now is kind of jump into the Q&A. We're getting questions left and right. Let's go ahead and get started. The first one, what are you looking for when hiring an associate? Dr. Ramsey, you have a practice, a private practice owner. Give us some feedback and some thoughts.
The first thing I'm looking for is somebody to add something to the practice that I don't currently do. So if you come in here and say you want to do contacts, I already do that. If you want to do dry eye, I already have the iLux. I already have an ocular keratograph. I already do dry eye. But if you come in and say, I went and did a residency or I did an externship in a private practice that does low vision, and I saw how they were profitable in doing low vision, and I would like to add low vision to your practice, and I want to show you how you can make money doing low vision and we both can benefit. All of a sudden, I might not have been hiring, but you know what? You sound like I'm hiring now. But you see how that conversation is different, because I am saying I actually know how to make money doing this, and I want to bring this to the practice. And you know what? I'm going to allow you to be profitable, and I want to be profitable as well. It's totally different than saying I did low vision in school, and I would like to do low vision at your office. In school, half of it was free, half of it was written off. Most of those people did not have to pay. So you do not know how to make money doing low vision. You know the structure of what gets people to see in low vision, which is totally different than real world about adding in specialty services. So I would say finding somebody that wants to add value to my practice, whether it be I'm willing to work Saturdays. I know a doctor that works Sundays in a private practice. That's crazy to me. But you know what? He's adding value in that area where some people are Jewish or they are Seventh-day Adventists and they don't go out on Saturdays. So all of a sudden, now Sundays is their quote-unquote Saturday and they're willing to work on a day that would not be normal. So you do something that adds value to the practice, whether it be low vision, sports vision, whatever. I'm looking for somebody that comes with something unique that I am not actually doing so that we can grow the practice together.
You know, Dr. Ramsey, you bring up a great point. And this is something that, you know, you fourth years really need to look at. When you're on your rotations, yes, you're going through the processes of doing refraction, slit lamp, 90, whatever it may be. But also look at the business aspects. Sit down with the office manager and ask them to look at the reports, understand the reports, understand how insurance pays, what insurances are out there. If it is a low vision practice, how do you make the money with the low vision? How much do the products cost? Cost of goods, you know, things of that nature, because we know they're not teaching it in school. So it's up to you to be aggressive. It's up to you to move forward and ask these questions. That way you can be that person that Dr. Ramsey just mentioned. I think that'll be a thing that could really be a game changer for a lot of folks, because once you start talking business with a practice owner and they truly know business like Dr. Ramsey, you know, their antennas are going to go up. They're going, okay, we got the same type of blood. I'm rocking with you. So it's very important to make sure that you capitalize on that. Dr. Hamm, anything that you want to add on in regards to that, or with your experience when you were out seeking last year and trying to make things happen on that end?
When I was looking, because I had several different opportunities come my way. I think it was also important of why I wanted to be an associate for that time. Mm-hmm. And I think that I expressed that through when I went through interviews, is that I was like, well, I'm specifically looking for an associateship position because this is why, and I want to learn from you and I want to gain knowledge and I want to, you know, have an opportunity to learn from somebody that has done great things. So that kind of was just when people were really excited to hear that, because some people come in and say, well, I want to buy you out in 5 years, and not everybody is ready and excited for that. So I was really excited to be in an associateship position. And I said, if practice ownership ever comes up, you know, I don't know when, it's a great conversation for us to have, but right now I don't want to be in that place. I want to be an associate and learn.
I love that. You know what, for me, when I came out of school, I went to corporate optometry. It was a private practice in corporate. But the one thing that I really love, Dr. Ham, was that when I was coming out of school, they allowed me to go from each practice to get something from each doctor. And what I did was I took all the great pieces and I saw where they really sucked at. And I took all the great pieces and I, you know, implemented that into the way that I practice. So I feel you in regards to, you know, don't just go in and say, I want to buy your practice. You might not even like that demographic. You might not even like what's coming in that office. You may find that the building is messed up. The cost of goods are all jacked up and it's going to take a long time to turn things over. Which some people like that project, but coming straight out of school, you know, I personally feel like, you know, it is good to have a learning curve. Some people like Dr. Ramsey, I know he did a few, worked with a few other doctors, but some people have that gift. You know, for me, I like to have that experience first before I jump into something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, so let's move on. We got other questions coming in. Let's see what's going on. Here's another comment. Oh, thank you, Dr. Chin. Gotta love her. She has a great story as well. We all know Dr. Jennifer Chin.
Just got a question.
Shout out. All right, let's see.
We got a question on LinkedIn, Daryl.
Oh, we got a question on LinkedIn. Far away, Dr. Ramsey.
Yeah, so Justin Blazon, what's up, Justin? Hey. Asks, how do you think starting salaries will be impacted by the COVID-19? And what type of applications should be in the best shape? So, you know, what people are going to get hired and how is that going to change due to we're not working right now? So places like me that were about to apply or about to accept applications may not be in the same situation because we don't know what we're going to be coming into. So what do you guys think? Has it been affecting the application process of you looking for a job? Are any offers that were on the table not there? Let's give Justin an answer here.
Absolutely. So personally, I was interviewing right now and I had two phone interviews. And because of the virus, at this point, I had two interviews postponed. And the goal of the interview, obviously, next was to meet in person, take a tour, kind of get to that process. And even before negotiating for how it affects the salary, we didn't even get to meet. And at this point, I don't even know if we will get to meet because the question is, we're supposed to social distance. Okay, how can we even visit offices when we're supposed to social distance? And I know offices now are maybe no longer even thinking to hire people because they're letting some of their staff go. How are they even thinking to hire people? And so it's kind of a peculiar situation. I would say right now as someone who's applying, I'm looking at other areas to kind of fill that void. Remember, maybe a sacrifice and go to an area that's remote or maybe kind of be creative too. Like one thing I really want to give a shout out to is Covalent Careers and their virtual career fair that they're having next week. And I think that's going to be a great opportunity to kind of look at jobs. You kind of just have to maybe look at maybe sacrificing something that you maybe hadn't thought before and find another opportunity in another way.
I love that. Now, what do you think starting salary? So that's one thing. So the job being there or not being there is one thing. But imagine going in using Kate's great negotiating skills and then saying, I want to negotiate that I'm starting and I'm worth $200,000 because I graduated magna cum laude from my school. Now, do you think you have leverage in this particular situation? That's where the starting salary really comes in. It's talking about leverage. It's talking about supply and demand. If you go to an area where they haven't had a doctor in 2 years and they've been trying to find somebody in 2 years, you may have a little bit of leverage. You may be able to negotiate. Yeah. You come to Miami and we got a doctor in every corner, not the same leverage, not the same negotiation. So do you think the starting salaries or you're going to be able to be as cocky going in saying, I want to get this and I deserve this because I know I passed part three on my first try. I know I deserve this. Do you think starting salaries, Kate, is going to be affected? And how will you talk to other doctors and give them advice on what to do? Because before COVID-19 is a different world than after. You can't use the same rules.
Mm-mm. No, I think it's been very interesting to see how all of us have had to change everything about what we're doing. I mean, how many of us were like, we're never, optometry isn't going to be able to do telemedicine for a long time. And then look at where we are now. Like, I mean, just so much has changed. But I think it was interesting that you said supply and demand, because all of the patients that I was supposed to see end of March, April, and then now Kansas is pushed back to the first week of May for shelter in place. All of those patients are wanting, most of them have rescheduled and wanting to be seen in May, June, at end of May, June, and July, whether or not that occurs. And so there will be a time where we're going to have a higher supply. Well, I can't say exactly how that is going to impact the salary bottom line, because so much of how our salaries are paid is from predated exams, paying out later, 30, 60, 90 days later. I can say that there will most likely be a demand for doctors because there will be a supply of patients coming back. But that supply will also be different based on how many of them have jobs. I think this is, a lot of this is so unprecedented. And I think that word is also very overused because it is very true right now. This is unprecedented. We're not sure. I think where we will notice our largest amount of change in that salary bottom line is going to be in our major cities. I live in Wichita, Kansas, which is the largest city in the state of Kansas, because Kansas City is split between Kansas and Missouri. Fun fact, the largest Kansas City, Missouri is larger than Kansas City, Kansas. And so we're still pretty rural compared to a lot of metropolitan areas. So there is a lot more opportunity here, and especially in my counterparts, traveling 30, 45 minutes outside of here. So I know that there are still doctors hiring within the state of Kansas, because first of all, they don't have any COVID cases in their city. They're sheltering in place because they social distance very regularly because their houses are 5 miles apart. So it's very easy for them to social distance. And so there's practices of that nature that have been looking for doctors for a long time. So like JD said, I think it's so important to be able to kind of look at a different place than what you're looking at, if that starting salary base is what is important to you. But if location is important to you, we're going to see a fluctuation in that start in that salary, because it's going to depend on a lot of how that practice has prepared before if something happened, and then how they were able to weather the storm and all of this as well, of how that salary turns out. So again, kind of stepping back and figuring out what is important to you. If it is location, be okay that that salary might not be what you first expected it to be, and some of those numbers that we've had might be a little bit different now, and that's okay. But let's say salary is important to you. Maybe that's changing that location or that practice modality than what you originally expected to be. If you wanted to go in, be the set, have a doctor bring in an associate for the first time, and there it'd be a two-doctor practice, that might be very, your salary might be very different than if you want to join a 5-6-doctor practice that's been doing well, or a hospital setting or a corporate setting. There might be some differences in that fluctuation of how that salary plays out. So kind of going back, I'm reading a book right now that's all into knowing yourself. It's very touchy feely. So like, sit with yourself, understand what values and beliefs you have about you and optometry and what is important to you. And then use that to kind of help decide what's next, because those salaries will change. And it's hard for me. I could say they're going to go down and then watch like in June, they're like the highest that they've ever been, because my maiden name is Murphy, and Murphy's Law is, I will say that they're bad and they're going to be really, really good. So, all of this could be a very real thing there. So just kind of take a moment and understand that for yourself.
Yeah. Love and it. I would say corporate optometry, they're hiring, they're looking, they're paying still well, premium. So yeah, I mean, money is out there, jobs are out there. You know, it just depends on the mode of practice you want. And as Dr. Adam Ramsey and Dr. Kate Hamm mentioned, where you want to practice, you really have to do some soul searching to figure out what you want in life. I mean, whatever you want, if you have faith, you can make it happen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
And also, this does not, your first practice out does not have to be your dream practice. Mm-mm. Like, let's just give you that moment, because like, I always thought that I wanted to own my own place and be out there and doing my own things. And I don't know if one day that could still happen. Mm-hmm. But when I had an opportunity of that nature pop up, I was like, wait, never mind. I don't know. And so, like my mom tells me all the time, she's like, this is just right now. You're still learning. Like, it's okay. And so know that right now you don't have to get your dream job.
Right. Well, let's jump into this next question that we have here. This is going to be a very soft and sensitive spot to Dr. Adam Ramsey and probably Dr. Hamm as well. But let's go ahead and pop it up. Is this the end of private practice?
No.
If so, that would be a bummer.
No, I'm crushing it right now. Like, I am ready. I do not see this being the end. I think what's going to happen is practices that had a doctor that was 80 years old and he was just working 2 days a week, that person may not reopen, right? He might say, you know what? I was going to retire next year. I'm not going to retire. Private practices that over-leveraged themselves and that were under too much debt, maybe those are not open. But the good practices will survive. The good practices are going to be open. I am gaining patients through this process because I'm doing patients through telemedicine. I'm helping patients out remotely and selling them products that their current doctor in that commercial space has left them. They're not there. They're not available. They're not answering emails. They're not answering phone calls. They're not doing telemedicine. So patients are like, hey, you know, I want to come see you because I needed something and you helped me out. And the doctor that I normally go to has disappeared. They've never called me back. They didn't check in. I've called and left voicemails. So this isn't the end of private practice. Like Kate was mentioning, I have patients that were already scheduling May, June, and July. So now what I'm going to have to do is add in patients from March and April to my already full schedule from before. So even the good thing about private practice is that I can make double the next month and I can make back up for the old month. So once we get open, I'm okay. Once I get open, all I need is to be open. I'm like, put me in, coach, put me in. I'm ready to go. I have people calling, texting, emailing. Can I use my $1,200 stimulus at your office? And I am like, listen, I'm trying to find a way for you to give me that. So I'm telling them, put it aside. We can put it on layaway. We can do something. Let me hold it for you so you don't have a chance to spend it anywhere else. Let me hold it.
Exactly.
And then I give it back to you if you don't use all of it. You know, so private practice is alive and well. We're going to be fine when we get through this. Being an entrepreneur and a business owner is being an entrepreneur and a business owner. Life is the only thing that is constant is change. You got to be able to put your big boy pants on and say, I'm ready to play in the big boy leagues. Okay. This ain't the little leagues. So things are going to happen. You can't get scared after one thing happened. Oh my God, I got to get a salary that's all base. Bank on yourself. You know what I mean? Bet on yourself. Decide that, hey, I can bring some money in. I will find a way to bring money in virtually. I will do some telemedicine. I will find ways to make money. I'll start a website. I'll start something. I'll sell anything. So you can do it. So private practice is alive and well. The good ones will survive and they will actually thrive when it's over. And the ones that should have closed anyway are going to close. And they were going to close in a year or two anyway. So all we're doing is rushing those ones out the door. And then those patients will come over to Socialite Vision. Come on over to my team. We're ready. We're available. I will be hiring 2021. New doctor, come on in. Anybody watching this? 2021, I'll be ready for you. Give me a minute. We'll get it together.
Dr. Ramsey, you brought up a great point. You know, being a private practice, you do have more flexibility than a corporate company. Because when you're in a corporate company or a corporate modality, you got to wait for everything to go through before you can actually process anything. So it is nice to have that flexibility. And the one thing that you have to keep in mind also with a private practice, keep in mind, and even with corporate, but more private, we are in a business where there's the medical aspect and the retail aspect. So as Dr. Ramsey said, you can hustle something. You know, this is a time where if you can't see patients, you could be selling glasses online, sunglasses, using your social media to educate about the latest and greatest technology that's out there. So there's so many things that you could do if you are a private practice owner that, you know, with corporate, you have to wait for the powers up above to make that decision. Kate, I would love to get your perspective being an associate in regards to the million-dollar question. Is this the end of private practice? Because you may have a completely different perspective looking in, being that you are not, as of now, cutting a check to the team members that's in the office. I mean, what are you going through? What experience are you having? What's your perspective in regards to this question?
It's scary to think about all of this because it's an opportunity to see where we've been faltering before and where we can succeed now. And so continually, our office staff, is down just a few people. We've had a lot of staff that we've had to furlough. And then we have our two office managers and then our main, and then our head doctor that owns the practice. So since he is above, he's above the age where where there's more risk factors, it is down to us two other doctors that are here. We also have a doctor that's on maternity leave right now. And she was like, I think I planned this perfectly because first of all, I get to stay home with the baby and nobody asked me to go out. And she goes, second of all, he doesn't even have to worry about paying me. He was like, she's like, of course I planned it this way. And so she, so there's two of us doctors that are on call to go in. I don't do well sitting still for very long at all. So I usually go in for about an hour a day to help answer phones and answer patient questions that need to be answered by a doctor just because I get bored. And my tech is like, hey, I have a question. You want to come in? And I'm like, thank you. Yes, I'm coming. So I just have a reduced salary rate right now. And so when I thought, okay, this is the end of it all, I'm not going to be able to do practice the way we once did. I also see like our biller going through things and being able to talk to businesses and different things on that angle that we just didn't have the time to do before. Where when we had constant patient interactions, and I'm not saying that every business has that, but opportunity or is, you know, has gotten up to everything that they need to. It's been interesting to see how we are flexing different muscles that we haven't been able to flex before just to make sure that we're doing everything really well. So I saw two patients today. I saw a patient yesterday, I guess a couple days ago, and I see several via telemedicine throughout the week. So there is a lot of things. I mean, I had patients come in, call in to order contacts from us that I would take orders from. They go, well, I can't get in touch with my office, but I have my RX. Can you just get it to me? And I'm like, yes, come on, come back off. Yeah. Or I have a foreign body and I can't get a hold of my office. And I was like, yeah, come on in. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're so nice. You put that drop in my eye and it feels so much better. You're a miracle worker. And I was like, yes, I am. Come back and see me in a few months for your full eye exam. So, you know, just giving that opportunity for me to work my magic of being a good eye doctor in those situations. So I agree 100% with Dr. Ramsey that we're just really, we're taking what has worked really well for us and just expounding upon that. And then taking maybe some of those things that kind of hitched us up in the past and trying to work in a different way to make that better.
You see, Kate, you're like me. You like the hustle, like Dr. Ramsey as well. So, you know, if there's opportunity, you're going to jump on it. Yeah. And you guys, what you have to realize is during this time, this is when stars are born in companies. This is when you get your respect. When you're able to go out and do or go the extra mile for a patient or go the extra mile for a colleague, you know, that business owner is going to remember that. So when it comes time to getting that raise or when it comes time to getting whatever it may be, you know, you're going to be on top of the mind simply because you went that extra mile. So, you know, it's very important to make sure that you step up during this time, especially if you're at a site that you're rotating at and there's something that maybe you can help with their social media and you want to go back and practice there in the future. This is a great time to really help out and make yourself stand out outside of everyone else.
As well as there's so many webinars right now that like utilize it. Like I listen to all these telemedicine webinars and I literally taught my biller and all the other doctors of how to bill and how to go through all of that. If I leave and go somewhere else, like that knowledge goes with me. Like this is a time to build up your own brand and your own self as well. So if I know all of this stuff and I've learned all these things because I have time, if something changes and I move somewhere else, that carries with me. That doesn't just stay with that practice. So invest in yourself. I think this is a great time for you to invest in yourself for future use as well.
You know, Kate, I love that. That's a good segue into this next question. What resources do you recommend for seeking a job and to build your resume?
Do you want me?
Yeah, why not?
Dr. Ramsey. Okay, because I was like, oh, this way is Dr. Ramsey. So there's on your campus, I have no doubt, whether you're on a campus that's solely optometry or if you're part of a larger one, there's most likely some sort of career center that have people there that are really good at reading resumes and really good at helping you through interview tips. Whether it's you're like, is this an okay outfit to wear to an interview? Most likely, yes, as long as you look like you've got your stuff together. And then, you know, can help you go through that resume. Also, utilize this time because you have the time. I always hated writing those extra little blurbs on my resume because I was like, how am I supposed to find the right words? How am I supposed to condense this down? Like I have I know what I did in this situation. Just let me get into the room and talk through it. Because if you can't tell, I'm a chatter. And so it's a great time for you to utilize all of that, all of this kind of extra little wiggle room we have in our life to kind of find words. Like, look up the thesaurus and just use it. I mean, it's a viable resource online or in paper. I still have my thesaurus from third grade. So utilize this time to kind of ask people that are more knowledgeable, as well as use, if you have the knowledge, do it. Like, yeah. It just, you don't have as much of an excuse. Yes, you're still in school. I'm going to hold you to that. My husband's a teacher. He would hate me if I said, you're not in school anymore. You're done. Because you are. So, like, still do your schoolwork, but utilize this time to make things better. Some great resources that you might find online. Covalent Careers, I've seen so much good stuff. Always everything, like, they put out is really great. You might also look at other business schools' websites. There's a lot of, like, you know, just little snippets of courses that are from universities that have some business school kind of insights of writing resumes or kind of interview skills as well. There's a lot out there, but I'm going to pass it off to the rest of you because y'all are smarter.
Yeah. I mean, the one main thing that I would say is utilize LinkedIn. LinkedIn has so much information on there. Number one, you can look at someone's profile. And, you know, you could look at what they wrote and you could put your own little spin on it and add it into your resume. And they always have some type of course that they're offering free for X amount of time that you can actually invest in. And I've seen stuff on resume writing and how to get a job and all types of things. So I would strongly recommend making sure that you're on LinkedIn, making sure that your account is professional. You know, don't post pictures that you would post on Facebook or Instagram. And don't post posts that you put on Facebook or Instagram. Keep it professional. Maybe even write an article, something that, you know, a potential recruiter may see and like and say, hey, you know, you're the perfect fit for this practice. They've been looking for a specialty contact person. And you just wrote this amazing article on specialty contacts. So I think this is going to be the key job or the best job for you. So I say just really, really utilize LinkedIn. I think it's a great resource that us as optometrists don't use enough. Dr. Ramsey, what about yourself?
I want to let JD go on this one first. I want to know where he, because I'm debating on my end here. Where did you find the job offers that you looked at? And where did you go? Because I know from the employer standpoint where I thought I was going to post it, but I want to know where does the new grad actually think that they're actually searching? Because that's the most important place.
So I'll answer the finding job part first. I would say recruiters and LinkedIn. Just honestly, I mass messaged every doctor I knew and said, hey, do you know anybody that needs a new optometrist or something, open position? And I that's actually how I got an interview and progressing with that. Also, recruiters are really helpful because right now they have a lot of free time and they are looking for, you know, finding a need for you. And that's why I think that virtual career fair for Covalent Careers will be really helpful because they're going to have virtual booths so you can actually talk to them like how we're talking right now. I think the second half of the question is for the resumes. I would say utilize your professors. Your professors they went to here to help you out. If they wanted to just practice, they would have practiced. Like, I just go to my professors and email them my resume. And I've had the dean of my school firsthand give me like an essay on what I need to fix about my resume. And so I think if you just send your resume to multiple professors, they're going to give you their opinion. And I think that's an easy way to get opinions on how to improve your resume.
All right. So I like that. What I would say is that I just redid my resume and I sent it to Daryl. And I sent it to somebody that professionally does resumes. If you want a $150,000 job, you can't be scared to spend $200 on a resume. Okay. This is where you go to the professionals, okay? I want to talk to somebody who their job is writing. If my job ain't writing, I'm not the best at writing. Dr. Glover, no, I'll pay somebody with the quickness to do something. I am not scared of paying somebody to do something that's better at it than me. So this is where I say you reach out and say, hey, who knows how to write resumes really well? You know what? Social media is great for that. Google is great for that. Fiverr is great for that, whatever. And then somebody says, I write resumes really well. Can you send me some examples of resumes you've done? Boom. And then all of a sudden, you know what that person's going to do? They're going to send you a questionnaire that you'll then fill out. And they spit out to you a great resume because you got to see a format that you like. Because the main thing on a resume is really formatting and details. At the end of the day, I went to high school. I went to college. I graduated. I like to do this. It's not really anything special yet. You haven't gotten out yet to get the awards and the accolades and the stuff that you need to fill out a resume. So right now, it's just going to be really, well, how does it look? Is it well put together? Spend $100 and get somebody to put it together for you. That'll be my first tip. The next thing I would think is that you can go to your state associations, your local associations, the schools, and they're going to have listings of job postings. The one thing I would say is the best jobs never make it online. The best jobs
I agree.
Are going to be scooped up by somebody who hustles harder than you, and they got the job before the doctor was ready to put it online. So what you do is you go around and say, I want to work in this city. What kind of practice do you want to be in? I want to be in a private practice that likes sports vision. Okay. Are there any sports vision practices in that area? There's three. How about I call that practice? I go into that practice. I email that doctor and find out, hey, my name is JD and I'm looking to come and be associate at your practice. Do you have any openings? Well, you know what? I've been thinking about it for a little while and I haven't found the right fit for me in my practice. So I stopped looking. So you know what? How about you send me a resume and let's go have lunch next week? And then the best job, and then you go to the doctor and say, I found you because this is the type of practice that I wanted and I put the hustle out. Now, all of a sudden, how is that connection to that practice and to that doctor? Totally different than if you go on a site and it just has a listing from a recruiter that's trying to get you plugged in at what, I'm not going to put down any places, but get you plugged in at a place that's totally different than the doctor that's hustling so hard they can't keep up and they don't have time to post it on a job listing site. And you come around, hey, I'm here. I'm ready to hustle. What's going on? Can I take you to lunch? You want to take me to lunch? Yes, I want to buy you lunch. I want to come into your practice. I want to see it. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, come on, man. I want a steak. Let's go to lunch. And then all of a sudden, the situation is different. And you know what? You're not always going to find a job there. But I will tell you, the most memorable and the best jobs are going to come from the effort you put in. Because that practice or that doctor is going to see that you sought them out. And you knew why you applied there. Not just because I applied to every job I found. And I'll take anyone that pays me enough money. Well, because you know what? If you take the one that just has the most money, there will always be somebody else that'll pay you more. And if they're willing to pay you that much more, trust you and believe they're going to be making some money off you. So you're going to be working hard. So if your only number that you care about is I want to make 120, I want to make 130, I want to make 170, there's going to be a practice in a place that'll pay you $160,000, $170,000. I've seen it. But you know what? You're going to be sweating when you're done with that day. You're going to be tired when you come out. You're going to be like, I would do anything to get out of here because I can't even move when I get home from work. You know what I mean? So there's a totally different thing. Sometimes the money ain't everything because I've worked at jobs and they want you to see 30, 40 people. I worked there one day. I was not doing that. No, no, no. So it's just, you know, find that stuff. Go out there and be proactive if you actually want to work in a certain place or in a certain area or a certain specialty and seek out the people that do low vision, that do vision therapy, and just email. If you're open to working anywhere, then go find the best vision therapy practices and then say, hey, you need any help over there? And you'll get the right one if you become more proactive.
Great points, Dr. Ramsey. You know, the one thing I took from everything that he said was anytime you see him at a conference and he's at the bar, go to him because he's spending $200 on a resume. Drinks on Dr. Ramsey next time, all right?
Hey, yeah, didn't I buy you drinks at the Transition Academy?
You got me.
Listen, if you want to come on up, I'll buy you a drink. I'm right there. It's okay. Come on. First round on me. And if you come up to me, you say that I said that, you will get a drink. And you know that I said that. It means you watched one of the webinars that I've been in that I said, if you walk up to me at a conference and you said first round on me, and I will back that up.
Yeah. You know, one other thing I wanted to touch on, you know, when you guys are
doing I'm going to use that too now. Just kidding. No, I'll come help by.
Whatever you guys are doing your rotations, one thing you want to keep in mind is that when you're at that rotation, that's actually a job interview. You know, a lot of practice owners, whether it's private or corporate optometry, they're looking at you when you're in that practice. And if you do extremely well, they may offer you a job, especially when you get out of school, and pay you well. So keep in mind, that is a job interview. So don't take those rotations for granted. Make sure you really maximize and do the best that you can. Because even if they don't hire you, someone may know that practice owner and say, hey, I had Jasdeep over at my practice, or I heard you had him over at your practice. How was he? And if he did horrible and you didn't show up, they're going to tell that business owner. Keep in mind, optometry is a small profession. Everyone knows everyone. So always give everyone respect and make sure you always give your best as well. The other thing I wanted to mention is, yeah, Covalent Careers. I'm actually going to be at that virtual career deal with my eye doctor. So if you guys would like to chat and learn more about my eye doctor, call at me. I will be there on the chat, and I look forward to talking to you guys and answering any questions that you may have. Let's move to the next question. We have one here. If you could redo anything in optometry school, what would you want to change? Wow, that is a loaded question, very much. I mean, I'll start it off. The one thing that I would have loved to change is, I mean, I live like a poor man. I was very frugal, but I wish I was even more frugal, you know, and I wish I was working a tad bit more on the side to help with student loans, because student loans is not a joke. You know, you got to pay it back. It's not free money. And my mom and dad wasn't able to cut that check and say, go to school and do what you got to do. So, you know, some people are blessed to be able to start at that level playing field. But when you come out of school, you know, you're down here. You got to dig your way up. So, you know, I'm not going to take back anything from optometry school. I enjoyed it. I partied. I had a great time. Got a great education. But I would have lived poorer than what I actually did. And probably right when I got out of school, I probably would have tackled student loans a tad bit more. That's just my personal opinion.
Party!
Who's next? Dr. Ham, Dr. Ramsey? Who wants to go? Who wants to take it?
Ladies first.
I can go real fast if you... Oh, Dr. Ramsey, you ready?
No, ladies first.
Oh, okay. Oh, So I just graduated in May, so it's sometimes hard for me to have like a full-on like looking back at things. But sometimes I... This is going to be so nerdy. Just throwing this out there right now. This is going to be so nerdy. Is that sometimes I would study to pass the test and I wouldn't study to understand. And I can tell you that there was so many times where I was like, well, I'm going to be a peds doc. I'm going to go into VT. I'm going to do these things. And my life changed and I'm not doing that as much anymore. And like, I vehemently hated contacts in school. You can ask any single one of my classmates. They all will be like, yeah, Kate would never, is said she's never gonna do contacts. And now I do specialty contacts and I do myopia management and I do a lot of deep work in contacts, which I never thought I would do and actually enjoy, which I do. I don't do things that I don't enjoy. So I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it. So I think I would have really utilized my education a lot more. Not that I did it, but sometimes I get overwhelmed in school and I get beaten down and I just got overwhelmed by the amount of information that was coming at me. And I think I really started to get a handle on that when I started studying for boards. And I jived in that kind of world of like figuring out how everything worked together. So I just suggest as soon as you can kind of start putting things together. I went through all my notes the other day. I know, like I said, this is going to get real nerdy real fast. I went through all my notes because I was cleaning things out and saved a bunch of my pictures because they helped me today. So put in the work now and it'll help you so much later. Cause when you get to go in and like help save patients' lives and make a huge difference with them right out of the chute, rather than just having a bad experience and missing something or not being able to fully help because you didn't remember or you didn't know as much as you wanted to. That's my really nerdy response.
That's a great response. JD, I know you're towards the end, you're not done yet. But you're towards the end. You can see it. I saw your cap and gown. You know, I see you graduate. You passed all your boards. You can feel it. You can taste it. It's like it's there, but it's not there. It's there, but it's not there. Anything for you, JD?
Yeah, I think I would reiterate what Kate was saying. When you're in school, you're just kind of studying. Like, I got to get to the next test. I got to pass this. And then now, like, for me, since I'm sitting here, we have all this free time. I've actually asked my professors if they could add me to their pages so I could rewatch their lecture videos, since everybody's audio and video recording everything. And like just relearning everything, I'm like, wow, like I don't feel like I fully grasped it that first time. Like, for example, like I was watching a video on the retina and they were talking about a CRVO. And when I've gone to practice, I've seen, anytime I've seen a CRVO, a lot of times we just refer it to retina and they'll take care of it. But I was watching the videos and my retina professor was saying, you know, the standard of care is you can watch it unless, you know, unless there's neo or unless, you know, a certain level of ischemia, like you can still, our standard of care is to watch it necessarily until it gets to the level where it really needs to see it. And that was such a breakthrough moment for me. Like, wow, like I need to understand the nuances of how we can actually manage these patients instead of just kind of pushing all the hard cases away.
That's good. That's good. I would say study not to pass the test, but to know the information. And the same thing like Kate said, I was the king of, I'm going to do this and I love business and I love that and I love this. But at the end of the day, when you graduate, a lot of times you're going to be the only doctor in that practice sometimes that day. And when it gets in your chair, you have to decide on what to do. And they say it's rare until it's in your chair. So some of that stuff that they show, they say, oh, they'll never see this. You'll never see that. Well, working in South Florida, I see a lot of that stuff that they talk about you'll never see. Because we get people from the islands. We get people from Central and South America that come up and say, you know, I was working in a commercial place. And they'd say, hey, you know, I brought my mom up and she's never had an eye exam in her whole life. And they bring her up. And the stuff you see in those eyes are what you see in textbooks. You know, because most of those patients, if they were in the States or they had access to care, some of that stuff would have got taken care of a lot sooner. So study so that you know the material, so that you feel comfortable. Instead of saying, hey, there's 150 pages. These 50 are going to be on the test. Well, you know what? Some of that stuff on the other 100 pages, it may not help you pass the test. But when you get out, you're going to be really happy that you actually looked at that. And then the last thing was, as a student, you can ask questions and you can go to doctors and they will be open and honest and tell you stuff that I probably would never tell a practicing doctor. So you could come to my practice and you'd say, hey, can I show you around? Can you do this? Can you do that? And I may be more open with you as a student because you're asking me to learn than the doctor that's across the street and says, hey, can I come over and see your books? No, you cannot. No, you cannot. Can I have the little trademark secrets that you've been doing to be so successful in your county? How about no? But if you're a student and you say, hey, I'm going to drive an hour up to see your practice. And can you, you know, show me around, give me some pointers, this, that, and the other. Take advantage of those opportunities. When I was in school, I had a big printed map on the wall. And I would put somebody's business card and I would pin the business card to where they are in the country. And then if I had a family trip or they were within driving distance and I got two or three in one area, I would take a drive on a Saturday and go to Alabama. I went to Southern in Memphis. I would go to Alabama and I would go to Tennessee and I would go to Georgia on a long weekend and see those doctors and see how they practice. And I still talk to a lot of those doctors to this day. And because I was a student, they were like, hey, you want to stay at my house? I got a guest room. And I stayed in their house and I stayed in their guest room. And I woke up and we had eggs in the morning and I went to the practice. And that's because I was a student. Now, today, if I tried to go over there, I've never met this guy before besides one drink at the bar. No, you're not going to come in my house. That's not happening. But so there's certain things that are going to be open to you as a student. Take advantage of those opportunities and utilize that time as best as possible. Reach out. There's a lot of resources that are available. You just have to actually access them.
All right. These are some great answers. You know, we want to wrap it up here shortly, but we got a couple more questions we're going to hit, and then we'll end everything and let everyone enjoy their evening. There's going to be an 80s party, I think, tonight with the group out there that we want to show some love to. But
Young ODs.
There you go. Yeah.
Young ODs.
Shout out to Will and Justin. You got to show them love and support.
I'll be there.
How do you think the pandemic will hurt students needing to take or retake a part of their boards?
JD.
So for sure, it's going to affect them, right? So our obviously question A is you don't even know when you're going to be taking it. So it's how do you prepare and take the steps to be ready whenever that opportunity does come? Because if you're a fourth year trying to take part three where you have to have all your hand skills, you want to make sure when it does open that you're ready. And so I would say number one for part three, going through the rubric over and over, making sure that you know the rubric in and out. A lot of part three is kind of stating what is kind of going on, whether when you put the fluorescein in the eye, or when you're doing blood pressure, saying the time. Like, you want to make sure you have that in and out, and that's something you can control from the inside of your house. I remember the night before when I took it, with my classmate, we stayed up all night and we practiced on each other with no equipment because we just verbally went through everything. For part one, which got postponed, I would say, you know, I know you don't know when the test is going to be, and you guys were, it's like a marathon. You're training for that marathon, you were tapering, and then all of a sudden the day before the marathon, it just got pulled from you, right? So I would just say, you know, maybe you're a little burnt out and you're still studying for other classes and it's hard to go maybe 10 hours a day, but at least keep those main concepts for a couple hours a day. Do some active learning. Remember, you could use like Quizlet and do some flashcards. I think that's really helpful. Maybe it's watching one KMK video a day. Maybe it's doing one practice test a day from KMK or OptoPrep. Just keeping that mind sharp. So then when you do find the date out, whether it's, let's say, 3 weeks from now, then you can start going Kate Ham on it and just going all the way. So
my wedding hashtag was going ham.
I love it.
That was so, yeah, not the first time I've ever heard that.
Well, Dr. Ham, you know, you recently graduated. I think you could probably give us the best perspective in regards to this question here. How should we tackle student loans? What plan should we pursue? Loan consolidation, for example, good or bad idea? Let's get some feedback.
So right now, if you have student loans that are from the federal government and they fall within the levels where they are not asking you, they're kind of not in forbearance right now, but you've just kind of got, there's no interest growing on them and they're not asking you to pay at this time, because I don't know what they want to kind of call this time in the world. I would look into consolidation because interest rates on a lot of things have dropped and are lower than because people aren't taking out as many loans for different things. So it might be something to look into. But until you are ready to pay and you feel like you're in a financial situation where you can pay well, so let's say that you are still getting paid full paycheck during this time, maybe this is the best time for you to go into consolidation. But if you're like me and have had a pay cut or have no paycheck, my husband and I have decided to put a pause on that. Because I've had several friends that have gone through that consolidation or the refinancing process, and right now they are still earning interest, and their payments are still due. So it's something just to kind of think about during this time. If you have the financial ability and you are not in a place where you are in a pay cut or at a lower rate than where you have been, this might be a great time for you. But if not, maybe something to think about. Also, what my husband and I have been thinking about a lot is my goal is to be debt-free from school in 10 years. We're working very hard to have that. I think my loans, I've had like 4 or 5 loan payments since I've graduated school. I don't remember exactly. But right now, when we have financial means, when we make sure that we put out our budget every month, you know, we have a little bit left over. We're looking at a couple of things. One, do we need to put that into our savings and our emergency fund? Because if I'm still at a lower paycheck next month, how is that going to happen? Right. I'm very fortunate that my husband is a teacher and is still getting his paycheck. I don't think either of us thought in a million years we'd be like, oh my gosh, so glad you're a teacher with that paycheck of yours. But we are. We are so thankful. But actually, we're always thankful for that. But we've looked at where in our budget and financially, if we are, since there is no interest, being I'm not paying necessarily towards interest right now, if I can pay towards my student loans. So maybe this isn't a time to refinance or consolidate, because you are able to pay down a ton to that principal, so that when all of this is lifted, you are able to come down with a lower amount of principal, because there is no interest being accrued on that right now. So some things to think about when it comes to looking at your debt. When we're looking at everything, we also looked at our stimulus check and said, okay, so how are we going to utilize this? We paid off some credit card debt that we've accrued during this time. And then we've looked at, okay, if we are receiving unemployment on top of my paycheck, and we're able to kind of put that back, is that an opportunity to pay off student loans? None of what I'm doing may be right for you. And that's okay, because each person, you have to look at your personal budget. I suggest always doing a $0 budget of you want everything, you want to utilize all that money. And at the end, you don't want to be at negative dollars or positive dollars. Find a place for everything and tell that money where to go, or else that money's going to tell you where it is going. So if you have a plan, student loans don't have to feel scary right now. The reason that they usually feel scary is when you don't have a plan. So there's lots of really great resources out there. I use Truebill with a lot of my budgeting and a lot of my kind of payments, because I can put credit cards and my husband's and my both of our savings account and things on there, so we can see where all of our money is at all the time. He doesn't like it because I always know when I'm getting like a birthday present or something, but I like it because I know where it's all going. And so that way we can kind of see if paying towards student loans makes sense or waiting. In all of this, also be aware that this is a 6 month. They put the 6 month hold on payments and on student loan interest. So even if we're up and running in 3 months, that still is on hold. That 6 months has been legally precedented and put out there by the federal government. So that could be taken back. It could not. Most likely it will not be, because it's really hard to undo something in the federal government. So if you have plans or things of that nature, kind of keep that in your world. And also just educate yourself, read where you're, you know, go online, make sure that you have, because all student loans from the federal government are not created equal. So some are not a part of this place on hold, no interest kind of opportunity right now. So make sure you do the research on yours as well.
Thank you, Kate. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. So we're going to leave it at that. We have one last question here from Facebook. Any advice for Canadians who want to stay in the U.S.? Who wants to take this one? Because I don't have an answer.
All right, I got you.
You know, okay.
So you're going to have to get your employer to sponsor you. So if you can get an employer to sponsor you, that's a great place where My Eye Doctor would come into play, or a VisionWorks, or another place that could then sponsor you as the employer. They're going to have the structure put in place. Now, you can get a private practice sponsor you, but they're going to have to probably learn that if they don't already know how to do that. The easy first step would be to get your employer to sponsor you, and that would allow you to get a work visa, and then you can stay in the country under a work visa. So this is a great place where you're going to reach out, and that'll be a part of your interview process. That will also be a part of, you know, your negotiations or where you're trying to find places to work. Some places already know how to do that, and that's easy, and they've done it before. And you know, you don't want to mess around with that. So I would stick with places that know what they're doing as far as that's concerned. But there are places you just have to get somebody to sponsor you and get a work visa for you to be able to stay in. I also know a lot of people that work at schools and different things like that, because you can work in a school without a license for a particular state, or you can work in a school with a lot of less restrictions than you can if you try to go into a private practice. So the person that's employing you, that is not a problem. If they know what they're doing and they apply appropriately, you can then stay in the country with a work visa.
Is that the same with the VA as well?
Yes. So you can do it with the VA. The they will apply for a work visa for you as well. So any of those big corporations, that's where big corporations make it much easier. If you ask me to figure out how to do that, that's a hill to climb that I might not necessarily. Now, for the perfect associate, maybe I'll do the effort and the work. But the easier thing to me would be going to a big corporation that they do this already, either the VA, a hospital, a big commercial setting, or a My Eye Doctor, which is Dr. Daryl Glover's private practice on steroids analogy. They may have a person that knows already what to do in that regard, and be able to help with that. But you'll need a work visa from the employer.
To him, any feedback?
No, that was everything. If you're doing residency, do connect with that residency director, because they will have the proper steps. Because sometimes it's a student visa still, sometimes it's a work visa. That one gets into each place is different. So connect with them on that. Because that will also be your first step within the VA on that sponsorship package.
Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and end the show, you guys. You know, I greatly appreciate you guys coming on and hanging out. I mean, we're all family. We talk to each other routinely. Kate, I had a long conversation with you for almost an hour yesterday. One thing I love about Kate is she has this term known as the wise counsel. And yesterday she was my wise counsel. She really gave me some great advice and some tips. And also Dr. Adam Ramsey, I spoke to him for probably about 2.5 hours yesterday. Well, that's a daily thing anyway.
That's daily.
Right. But, you know, he was my wise counsel yesterday, and I greatly appreciate you guys in regards to that.
Yeah, I'm like really into touchy-feely things. Like if you know me, I'm all about your emotions and about who you are and not like having that. Your wise counsel and all these different people. So,
see, that's why I have my balance.
I'm very blunt. I'm to the point. I'm like, Daryl, no, we're not doing that.
I go to Adam, and he's just like, arr. I'm like, man, calm down, man.
Like, give me some love. I need a hug.
Nah. Your wife is there for the love. I'm there to kick you in the butt and say, hey, you know what we're doing? Chill out. That's what we're doing. And then call Kate when you need somebody to be a little bit more, oh, it's okay. We're going to be all right.
Yeah.
Hey, no, get it together. Let's go. Next.
Yeah,
Adam,
I feel like you've
been in my house and you've heard my conversations with my
guests. Well, I wanted to end the show with just some last thoughts and also for you guys to leave your contact information. You know, we're going to leave the show in with Dr. Ramsey. We're going to let you take it from the top, man. What's your last thoughts? What advice or tips would you give all the students out there to pursue their dream job or not even their dream job, but the next big thing for them in eye care? And if you don't mind leaving your contact information, social media, and access to your book as well that you wrote also.
So I thanks for that plug right there. I would tell you as a student, I thought my first job, I had to have it all together, and I put so much pressure on myself because we've been working so hard and long to get to this point that you put a lot of pressure on yourself for this first job that it has to be this and it has to be that. Listen, my first job lasted 6 months, and 3 months in, we're about to get to the next one. So don't worry. It's going to be okay. Find something that you like, go with it. And then when you get there, you figure out what the real world is like, and then you'll be able to apply and you'll have some experience when you get there. So calm down and breathe. Don't lose no sleep over this. Don't lose no hair over this. Relax. You are going to be fine. We have all been there, okay? Watch your non-competes. Watch your restrictions, okay? If your non-competes and your restrictions are very light at that job, you can get another one. Give them notice. Be kind the same way you would like to be kind and say, hey, this is not working for me. I will give you 30, 60, 90, whatever's in there. And then find another job when you're at a meeting in the city and you see another doctor and you find another one, and it's going to be okay. So take a deep breath, relax. It's not the end of the world. You will be there. Reach out and ask questions, ask for advice. People will give it. People will be honest. Anybody wants to reach me, you can find me on every single social media platform. I'm on there. Dr. Adam Ramsey. Type it in, Google it. You can find me, text, email, whatever, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all of that. We're there. Play chess, not checkers. Practical guide to warm start your dream optometric practice. For those that want to get into private practice, now is a great time. You can buy practices at lower prices now than you could have before. There are going to be opportunities, like Dr. Ham said earlier, where I'm going to have a backlog of patients. So I might actually want to bring somebody in sooner than I wanted to because now I can't handle the demand. So there's opportunities right now for you. It's there. Go out and enjoy life. You've worked really hard for this moment, and it's here. But just relax, breathe, and enjoy it. Don't let it go so fast that you don't enjoy it. So do that.
Dr. Ham?
So I ordered Dr. Ramsey's. He's over this way. I can't figure out my fingers. It's like, I feel like the Brady Bunch. I just ordered his book off of Amazon, and it said it shipped today because we ordered a lot of things off of Amazon. So it's coming, and I'm really excited to read it. I'm a bookaholic. So so you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Instaham. That's a really great way to reach me because I'm on it a lot because I don't have a lot to do right now. You can also find me on Facebook. I use it more as a personal kind of page for myself, but you're always feel free to message me and connect with me there. Easy place. You can always email me as well. I don't have like a fancy cool website yet, like Dr. Adam Renzi, but I will get there. Don't you worry. And so my email is kansasstatekate@gmail.com. But really reach out to me. If you have somebody that has my phone number, like literally text me, anything works. I'm an open book. And last bit of advice is figure out what you want, whether it's salary, whether it's location, whether it's benefits, anything. Like, figure out what's important to you and what you want, so that way when you go into any practice or any opportunity, you are best prepared because you already have your values figured out before you walk in the door.
Sweet. JD?
Yeah, I would just say let's go year by year. If we start with the third years, do a little bit every day. Try to keep up when you find out the date for boards. And when you do find out that day and it's 3-4 weeks away, start going hard from there. But try to do a little bit every day. Just don't get frustrated. I know it was postponed. And fourth years, I would say, we're going to start working eventually whenever we get that opportunity. Make sure this is our chance now to learn, whether it be emailing our professors or studying on our own. I know the AOSA and the AOA, they're doing the videos that my school has been watching every day. You can go on GPLI's website and look at contact lens videos. You can look at Will's Eye. They have a lot of disease videos. This is our chance to get ready for clinic, even though we're not seeing the patients. First and second years, I would say just try your best. I know you're missing out on the hands-on labs, but this is where YouTube or even practicing with people who are your spouse or that are around you, or if you've even seen videos of people practicing right on their dogs. This is your chance to just prepare yourself as best as possible so that when you do get back in lab that you get that chance to, utilize those skills. Just try your best to, watch those videos and you'll eventually get back out there. So just try to be patient.
And your social media handles?
Oh yeah, social media handle. If you just Google OptoTurbine, it's on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. My email is my first name, just Deep, which is JASDEEP.SONI18@gmail. But if you just Google OptoTurbine, you could reach me anywhere and feel free to reach out anytime.
Awesome. Awesome. For me, the main thing is this, don't chase the money. If you put the patient first, the money will come. For me, and I'm pretty sure Dr. Ramsey will express this as well, optometry is really about relationships. That doctor-patient interaction that you have in that exam room, that relationship that you have in your community, that relationship that you just have with your colleagues. I mean, as long as you're putting someone else first, especially the patient, everything's going to work out like it's supposed to. Spend time with your family, have some type of, faith, and you'll be a rock star in this eye care industry. And just make sure you treat your colleagues with respect, because it is a small profession and we want to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to. And make sure you guys listen to the amazing podcast on the Defocus Media Network. I mean, we have OptoTurbine with JD. He's always giving great information. He had one this week where he's talking about tips on fashion. He had one in the past with communication. I mean, there's a lot of great information that he brings to the table. And the same thing with Dr. Han with Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate. A lot of great content, especially about the wage gap, especially about motivation, negotiation. I mean, you listen to these podcasts and it can really change your life. And of course, the Defocus Media podcast, myself, Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, Dr. Madam Ramsey, and every now and then we get a guest appearance from Fayez as well. But you can find me anywhere on social media at Defocus Media or Dr. Daryl Glover on all social media platforms. This evening, I just want to thank you guys for hanging out with us. We hope we really put some information out there that can really change your perspective on eye care, whether it's corporate, whether it's private, whether it's student loans, whether it's creating a resume. We really hope that we were able to help you out. If you guys have any questions, feel free to contact any of us. We're here to push this profession forward, and we'll love to be able to help out in any way that we can. Thank you again. Have a wonderful evening. Stay blessed, stay healthy, and stay positive, all right? Talk to you guys later. Peace. All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.